I got some encouraging news today. Let me just, y'all know what it is? I ain't gonna tell you. Just kidding. All right. Paul, I think, is in the book of Galatians. Maybe Lindsay, he knows where it is right quick. He's a scholar around here. But how Paul went to the apostles to share the gospel he was preaching, to make sure that they had approval of it. Sought people who had been in the ministry longer than him, right? Well, today, Kevin Minolti called me. Kevin said that T.L. Osborne had promoted him, and now he's handling all of T.L.'s crusades and all of his conventions all over the world. And he wanted to know about my trip to the Congo. I said, well, Brother Kevin, it went well. And then I shared with him everything, and he related to what I'd seen and that he had seen it. And he asked me, and he said, did you eat any pizza down there in that pizza place? I said, I ain't eating nothing but fruit and whipped cream. But he was nice enough not to say, oh, thou of little faith. But anyhow, I said, well, now, Brother Kevin, let me just share with you what's in my heart, and you tell me whether I'm off the bean or what, if I'm wrong. I said, the Lord spoke to me after I came back and told me to change the nation. And I told him how I had spoke to God, and said, well, now, Lord, I'm just one little person. I only then preached in one church over there and was received well. The people were, shared with him all the things. And I said, I just really got it in my heart that God has spoke to me and told me to reach the nations, teach the nations, and you'll be able to change the nations. I said, but I got it in my heart that the only way to do that is reach the pastors. If I can reach the pastors and teach and feed the pastors, then I can change the nation of the Congo. We can change the French one, we can change the Belgian one or whatever, we can change all of them. That's how you change nations. And I said, I really got it in my heart, maybe if I go over there and get maybe 200 or 300 pastors. You know what he said? He said, what about 15,000? He said, I got hookups. He said, what about 15,000? He said, we can get them for you. That's I'm already excited, brother. He said, if you think about it, something got in my eye here, but if you think about it, he said, we do this all the time, and we have contacts. And he said, was Pastor Kala, was he at those meetings at TLA? I said, yeah, he was there. And I said, and he's well received. And I told him, I said, just the fact that I went, I don't know why, but I said, just the fact that I went, it gave his ministry more credibility. I don't know why, but it just did. The people received it like that. And I told him, I said, I want that Baptist church. And he said, well, I got to get my contacts. And it looks good, folks. Now, if it didn't even look good, I'd still believe it was God because I got it in my heart. Because I don't go by what I look. But this is possible. And he told me, he said, Brother Whitfield, he said, this is what you need to do. I'm going to tell you just what he said. He said, you're a great preacher. He said, I see you. Now, I ain't saying nothing to him. He said, I see you as a pastor's pastor.
Amen. Amen.
And I said, well, I've always had it in my heart to teach the teachers. Teach the teachers. And so he was very encouraging.
Amen.
Very encouraging. And he told me, he said, what you need to do, he said, this will help you. He said, you need to write a book. And every pastor that comes, you give them one. You give them a copy of that book. And that book, that printed page, will linger after you're gone. He said, they can all sit there and read it. He said, I got to do it in French now. But he agreed. He said, just what Pastor Collins said. He said, they suffer over there when it comes to the mission because he said, most of the missions won't go there because of the language barrier. Isn't that something? I said, but I went, and after a couple services with Pastor Colin interpreting and then the other brother, and he mentioned, he said, was it so-and-so? I said, yeah, he's the same one. I told him, I said, it's the same one interpreted for TL. He was there at my meetings. And I said, after about a couple services, I mean, we were going, anointed. And I tell you, I got to share this with you. for the first time in my ministry, I feel like it's worth something. First time ever. I feel like I can do something that is beneficial to the kingdom of God. Amen. All the more reason why we need to start thinking the world instead of our nation, instead of our state, instead of our county, our city, our church, our family. We need to think nation. Changing a nation. Reaching the nations. You got to go. He said go. Teaching the nations, making disciples. Students of the word. And when you do that, that's how you change a nation. Reach them, teach them, and they'll change. Amen? Amen. Well, let's all raise our hands and thank God for his goodness. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, let me say, thank all of you that are students of Eagle's Nest Ministers Training Center. If you are of the female gender, you will be this Sunday in the women's conference. You will not be counted absent. You will be given the tape and the outline. But you need to support the women's conference this Saturday. I'll be teaching either here or over there. I don't know where. So I want all the ladies to be in that. But if you are not of the female gender and you need to be on time because I don't like tardiness, and ready to learn. Amen. Been good so far, hasn't it? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Continuing our lessons on the subject of spirit, soul, and body. Brother Lindsay made a statement the other day, and it's so true. Because I can tell you, I was raised in church. I never heard anybody teach on spirit, soul, and body. Never heard anybody teach it. Now look here at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Paul here, praying something. Look at verse 23. There's other things that he talks about, but verse 23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. Now that's W-H-O-L-L-Y, not H-O-L-Y. So he's talking about wholly. He would be saying, I'd say it like this, all one piece. Or all the parts be sanctified, all the parts of man be sanctified wholly. And we said sanctified, according to Bullinger's translation, I always like that one's the best one, to be taken out of state of being common and unclean. Well, everybody talks about being sanctified, and that's sanctified in their actions and things like that, but I'm talking about being sanctified in your spirit, sanctified in your soul, and sanctified in your body. Taken out of a state of being common and unclean and being put into a state corresponding to the nature of God in your spirit and your soul and your body. To where your spirit's like God, your soul's like God, your body's like God. Amen. And then he says, and I pray, God, your whole spirit, and you could say whole soul and whole body, all three, be preserved blameless unto the, now this is interesting, unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Now, I believe he'll do it if you'll cooperate with him. Now, if you're not going to cooperate with him, you can forget it. If you're going to go places that are not going to feed you the truth, that'll give you a bunch of man's tradition, then you're never going to get your spirit man sanctified. You're never going to get your body sanctified. You're never going to get your soul sanctified. You can't until you get your soul renewed. Renewed. Amen. Now, he said, look at here, be preserved blameless in your spirit, blameless in your soul, and blameless in your body unto the coming of the Lord. That's on this side. That's on this side of the coming of the Lord. So when the Lord Jesus comes, now see, this is what the whole world needs right here. The whole world, the church needs, and the whole world, to be sanctified holy. Blameless in the spirit, blameless in the soul, blameless in their body. Every part of man, spirit, soul, and body, in a state corresponding to the nature of God. My spirit man is godly. My soul man is godly. My body is trained and is godly. Hallelujah. And faithful is he that calls you, who also will what? Will do it. All right. The Trinity is triune, three. Man is triune. Let's go look at, find 2 Corinthians chapter 5 just for a moment. But man is triune. There are three worlds or realms that he contacts, or he lives on three dimensions. He's the only unique creature on this earth that does that. Plant life is not triune. They're just body. Animal life is more or less spirit or soul and body. They have a brain, they have a mind, but they don't have a spirit. But man is created in the image of God. We are a spirit. Say, I am a spirit.
I am a spirit.
Now, if you are a spirit being, if the real you is a spirit being, it would make sense to me that the spirit will contact the spiritual world. That there must be, if you are a spirit, then there must be a spiritual world. And with the mind of man or the soul of man, we contact the intellectual realm or world. And with the body, we contact the physical world. Now, the Greek word for body would be soma, which is our outward man. Remember, the Bible says, though our outward man perish, yet our inward man, so that mentions two men, is renewed day by day. There he mentions the body of man, and then he mentions the soul of man, or the spirit man, the inward man, the hidden man of the heart. Well, then there's the soulish man. Then the Bible talks about in Hebrews chapter 4, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and joints and marrow. So the word of God produces power in the spirit of man, power in the soul of man, and power in the body of man. The word contacts all three realms. And if I am a spirit, then there must be a spirit world. If I am a spirit, I am not a body. The body is only my house. That's soma. My mind, psuche, where the soulish realm, you get a word, a lot of times people living that, they're caught up more in psychology. So they spend all their time, the world, when it comes to the mind, they spend all their time developing the mind of man. And your mind is limited. But then there is a spirit of man, which is pneuma, spirit. Say once again, I am a spirit.
I am a spirit.
I have a soul. Now, that's your mind, your will, your intellect, your reasoning faculties. That's where the power of choice is. That's the decision maker. Your soul is the go, you can say it like this, is kind of like the go-between between your body and your spirit. Now, there's a war that's going to go on in a child of God's life, not in the world now, because they are spirit, soul, and body, lock, stock, and barrel sold out to the devil. Because they've got the nature of the devil in their spirit. They have his nature in there. But the moment a person gets born again, I can tell you several things happens. He becomes a new creature in Christ. He's a new creation. He's a new creation. He is not a reproduction. He does not come from the law of Genesis. In the law of Genesis, there is no creation. It is reproduction. And I'll explain that further. But the spirit, the soul of man, it is like a go-between. Now, when you come to Christ, immediately there's a war that starts. Because the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit, or warreth, you can say the same thing, and the spirit warreth against the flesh. And Paul is saying, the things that I would do, I do not, and that which I would not, I find myself doing. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this? This constant, that he's talking about the body of sin. But your body is the instrument of sin. And sin comes from the spirit. So the body working on, how many know your body will work on your spirit? Yeah, all the time. Brother worked on you today, right? Worked on me and I ate that Snickers bar. Gave in. Just let my spirit just give in and just ate that Snickers bar. No, I like to say every now and then, if I keep my body, every now and then I just reward my body. Now, when I say I'm talking about my spirit. For we walk by faith and not by sight. When he says we, when he says I, he's always talking about spirit. He's never talking about body. Therefore, we never ever let your body is never meant to rule in your life. Because your body is just a house. Your house may be broke. Your house may be damaged. When the ice storm came and broke a limb off the tree and it fell on my house and busted a hole in the front wall. Now my house was damaged, but I didn't go to my house to ask him what to do and how to do it. I didn't say, house, how should I fix you? When your body gets damaged, your body hurts, your body is sick, your body is speaking to you, but you never ask your body how to fix it. It's the spirit of man that fixes it. And so your mind, but there's that battle on, but you got to get that. That's how serious it is for the Christians to get their minds renewed. That's the reason we got flakes in the church. They're just flaky. Because their mind's not renewed. If your mind's not renewed, then your soul and your body's going to gang up on your spirit and win every time. Then you got two against one. But once you get the mind renewed to the Word of God, you don't fight healing anymore. You don't fight casting out devils anymore. You don't fight speaking in tongues anymore. Because speaking in tongues is for the spirit of man. It's not for the mind of man because the mind don't understand it. You ever seen people get caught up in their mind? They're always fighting everything, the spiritual. Or coming up with some reason or excuse why it's not for me, not for today, and all of this. Just read the book. If you just read the book, you can find it. I read the book when I got saved and I saw it. I went to church and idiots talked me out of it. But once I got my mind renewed, they could talk all they want to. They're going to talk me out of it. It's too late to talk me out of healing. It's too late to talk me out of the Holy Ghost. It's too late to talk me out of speaking in tongues. Well, I just don't believe in it. Well, I just don't care. I believe God. See, that's the reason people fight the Bible. Anybody's got to try to come up with an excuse, not a reason, but an excuse why they can't believe the Bible. You know their mind is not renewed. And if their mind's not renewed, then they're going to live in the realm of the psyche. The psychologists and psychiatrists and people like that are going to tell them what they're supposed to believe and what they're supposed to think. And I had one of them come to me one time, a psychiatrist. And I blew his mind. He got so mad with me, he turned around and stomped off. Because he couldn't talk a spirit man out of truth. He was trying to deal with me with his mind. You're going to lose every time. What's the matter with me tonight? You see the importance of developing? Look, you should develop your body, you should develop your soul, and you should develop your spirit. We spend more money developing the body than any other part. And then just a few less billion dollars trying to develop the mind and spend no money and no time trying to develop the human spirit. Getting ahead of myself here. Well, you got your outline. You can catch up anyhow. All right. Go to 2 Corinthians 5. Did I tell you to go there? I don't know why we're going there, but it looks like a good place to go. We'll get there and get some inspiration when we get there. Here's what Paul writes. Therefore, we are always confident knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are at home in the body. When he's not talking about his body, because he would be saying, while my body's in my body. And that would be ridiculous, wouldn't it? We are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Here's a man who knows who he is. He's not going to wait till he gets to heaven to find out what he is. Most people are going to wait till they get to heaven to find out that they're a spirit. We, you know, what is this going on here? We. He said, I'm confident. I'd rather be absent from the body. Means he knows something. Here's a man that has spent some time developing his recreated human spirit. And he got his mind under control. It's renewed to the Word of God. Amen. Now, so the we is the spirit, isn't it? Then look at chapter 4. For which cause we faint not. But though our outward man, body, perish, yet the inward man, spirit, is renewed day by day. I don't understand it. It just blows my mind. It passes my mind. How can you understand? Wouldn't it be nice if our body was renewed day by day? Huh? But he's not talking about body being renewed day by day, is he? He's not talking about your mind being renewed day by day. He's talking about his spirit man. Gets younger every day. renewed, made new again, day by day, new again. He means he never ages. That's awesome stuff, isn't it? We're talking about the spirit of man, the soul of man, and the body of man. Now, he says, I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body, you are a spirit, you are made in the likeness and the reflection or the image of God. Genesis 1:26. Let us make man in our image after our likeness. So God created man in his own image. He's talking about the spirit man that is eternal, that never dies, that never ever ceases to exist. Saint or sinner, he will never cease to exist. He's not like just a cloud and all of a sudden there's a puff of smoke and he's gone. He is the real you. If that spirit comes out of that body falls to the floor dead. For the body without the spirit is dead. Amen? So your spirit man is eternal. Never dying. That's the reason sinners have to be incarcerated in a certain place. Now, the reason here for our bodies that should never, ever dictate to us is because our bodies may be damaged. So how can they tell us what to do? Also, our mind or our soul should not dictate to us and tell us what to do because your soul may be blinded. What did he tell us in 2 Corinthians? Anybody get anything out of this? 2 Corinthians 4:4, in whom the God of this world, little g, hath blinded the minds. So how can you trust? Like I told you, you ride down the street or down the road. You do a lot when I was out in Kansas. And you look down this long straight highway and it's in the middle of July and August. Man, it is hot. Steam is coming up. But in the distance, it looks like there's a lake going right across the highway. And so if you never seen this, didn't know what it was, you would slam on brakes right quick like and say, man, where did this flood come from? So then if a person doesn't know, that's because their mind is blinded to it. Well, Satan is out to blind people's mind and blind us. We hear folks talking all day. All you got to do is turn on the news every day and you hear a bunch of blinded minds. Right? Blinded from the light of the glorious gospel. They got every reason to tell you why this thing with God is not right, this thing with Jesus and all these Christians and all these other things. They're just blinded minds. But once that light shines to them, isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing how they changed? Isn't it amazing how you changed? I changed. We don't even talk like we used to. We don't even think like we used to. We've got renewed minds. Hallelujah. Say that again, Brother Lindsay. Thank God. Amen. Now, Satan has access to the body. Satan has access to the soul. But the spirit of man must be in control. Amen. Now, in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God did what? He created the heavens and the earth. Now, remember, he had no prior substance. He had no prior material. He had no prior chemicals or matter at all. The only substance God had, because God is a spirit and he's living in a spirit world, but he's going to make a natural world and a natural universe. And so where's he going to get substance to do it now? He don't have any. So wisdom tells him, by wisdom he created and formed everything. Wisdom told him faith will do it. And so the only substance that God had was a force that was on the inside. It came out of him, and it's called faith. Now, Hebrews 11:1 tells us faith is the substance. Substance, there you go. Substance, there's your material. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And we taught y'all Saturday that faith is released by words, and words are like containers that it carries out the force of faith. As you speak the word, it comes out of you. So he took and he created the heavens and the earth, and he set it right in his spirit realm. So I always believe that the spirit realm's all around us because it was here first. It's the real realm. Everything natural, everything seen was made out of the unseen realm. Through faith we understand the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Right now, just because they're not seen doesn't mean that they're not real. Doesn't mean that they're just going to vanish away. It's not really out there. It's just as real. It's more real. It has to be more real if it made everything you can see. Right? So he stuck it there, and then from that, he said on this earth, he said, let us make man in our image. So now he's got some substance to make God the man's body. So he gets down and takes the dust of the dirt of the earth, you know, and he forms and shapes this body like to give it a reflection of what he looks like, and with water and clay. But then he breathed into him the breath of life, and the same force that created, now this didn't come from a substance. When he breathed the breath of life into him, he became a living soul. And when he did that, that was a creation. Just like the heavens and the earth were a creation that came out of the inside of God, his faith. Now his faith, his spirit, is imparted into that clay vessel, and then the moment it did, it became a living soul. But there's a creation there. Now you'll find that after the creation of the heavens and the earth and the creation of man, it was a creation, not a birth, a creation. That you don't find that used anymore in the Old Testament. You don't find it anymore until Jesus came. That type of creation. There is no creation in the law of Genesis. Law of Genesis, everything after its own kind. So you have a substance. But when you don't have a substance, it comes from the faith. My spirit came right out of God. Your spirit came right out of God, right out of the inside of him. And that spirit man's in there. He became a living soul. He's a spirit with a soul attached. Your spirit and your soul are always attached together. Wherever you go, once your spirit leaves, he takes the mind, takes the soul. He leaves the brain and the body here, but they stay intact all the time. You know that because the rich man that was in hell, when he was speaking to Abraham, Abraham said, "Remember." That's got to be from his mind. Remember. So he had his soul intact. And so we're going to spend somewhere throughout eternity, spirit, soul, all those that have died and have gone, they are together, spirit, soul, whether they're in hell or whether they're in paradise with God, in heaven, right? But then there's going to come a resurrection where spirit, soul, and body are put back together, saint or sinner, and you will spend somewhere throughout eternity, spirit, soul, and body. And I believe that for that reason that God's going to replenish this earth, redo this earth, burn it, cleanse it. He's got to get everything that represents sin or evil out of this earth. It's going to be pure back again like it was in the garden. Amen. This earth is going to be sanctified holy. The Bible tells us now that the whole earth groaneth. All of creation is groaning for the day when they'll be delivered from what? The curse. So all of it's going to be removed. So creation, man, when man was first made, he was created. The word frames God's faith out of nothing seen, just out of the inside of him. And then when God made it all, he said, after he made the heavens and the earth, and he made man, he said, "It is good." So all of it was sanctified holy, wasn't it? Man, spirit, soul, body, and the earth. There was nothing that harmed, right? There was nothing evil, and that's how God did it. And he's been trying ever since to get us back to it. Ever since the fall of man, he's been trying to get us back to that sanctification. Amen. So the law of Genesis came in. There's no creation. He took the substance of the earth. He formed the body, created man, and put him in that body. Now he's a creation, and he's created in God's class. He's a Lord. He's meant to be a Lord, a ruler. You can just look at Psalms 8, and the psalmist says, "What is man that you're so mindful of him? Or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou hast made him a little lower than the angels." We were not, and the Hebrew word is Elohim. So the translators just didn't have the guts, pardon my language, didn't have the guts to interpret that what it really meant, saying that man was made just a little bit lower than God. So man was made above any angel, any angelic being. This is God's, somebody just like him, that he could feel, he wants a family. Amen. So man is so important. But then that man that he created, that man in that body of Adam. See, the body's not Adam. It's the man that's on the inside. That man inside of him died inside of Adam's body. Spiritual death lodged in his spirit. Now he has the satanic nature. Now, and when that happens, God is now, think about this, God's now on the outside. He has no access now. He can't go back and start over brand new. He can't start over because he don't have the authority to do it. Well, how can you say, I've thought about that and thought about that for years and just trying to get in me. God never lost ownership. He lost stewardship. And stewardship was Adam's authority. It was given to him. Now, if Adam would have just told the devil, get out of my garden, out of my tree, out of my garden, and off of this planet, because he was made a Lord, then the devil would have left and we wouldn't have none of this stuff. We'd all be pretty. No bad breath, no pimples, no nothing. Just, you know, hair every hair lay right in place, amen. There'd be no curse with it. He could have did it, but he didn't do it. But you know, God bound to have known that before he created him. So he already had in mind that he's going to have to redeem man and he's got to pay the price for him. But now God is on the outside. He's on the outside looking in. He's got to get access into the earth. And the only way he can get access to the earth is some man's got to let him in here. But in Genesis 3, you know, he done given that prophecy to the devil. The woman's seed's going to bruise your head. You're going to bruise his heel, but that her seed. The woman don't have a seed, so he's prophesying the virgin birth. And so he went and he found a man named Abram. And he said, Abram, I tell you what you do. If you'll walk thou before me and be thou perfect, he said, I'll bless you coming in and going out. I'll bless your money. I'll bless your body. I'll bless the fruit of your womb. I'll bless your land. I'll bless everything you put your hands to if you'll just give me. And so they cut a covenant with Abraham, and that gave God access into the earth because man had to give him authority. So man had to give him authority to get back in the earth because God's going to do everything legally, folks. He's not going to do anything dishonest. He's going to come about illegal. Y'all get anything out of this now? And so Abram gives him access back in it, and then through his prophet, well, it really started over there with Seth. You know, Adam and Eve had another son named Seth, and the Bible says that they began to call upon the name of the Lord, or that they belonged to the Lord. So there was a kind of a righteous line there, and that righteous line led him back into the earth. Then he got his prophets and got them prophesying that the virgin birth and all these things happened. And then when the fullness of time was come, the Holy Ghost hovered over Mary, that little handmaiden, and then went inside her and planted a seed there because man allowed God back into the earth. He had to get that authority from man. And just think about it. He got the authority from a man with the Adamic nature in him. He got the authority from a man with satanic nature in him. Abram was not born again. He had the nature of the devil in him. Sure he did. He lied about his wife 2 or 3 times, didn't he? God's doing the best he can. And because he's got the satanic nature, I'm assuming that Abram's doing the best he can. You can't do but so much with that devil in you. For you ain't going to be long, you're going to mess up. So God's got back in the earth and the Holy Spirit created. Now, the Holy Spirit hovered over Mary. And you remember God told Joseph, fear not, that which in her is conceived of the Holy Ghost. So he knows he's got to do something about that bloodline. He can't let that bloodline come in there through from Adam because every cell is tainted. And it's in the blood because the life's in the blood, so sin's in the blood and it's carried forth in the blood. So he's got to have, he said, tell you what, he said, I got to be the dad of this one now. And so he comes down, and because remember we talked about that Sunday, that all blood comes from the father, never from the mother. And so he came in and he's the father, and we got a body, and he's born eternally because he's without sin. He's got a body just like Adam. Now Adam couldn't walk through walls, but Adam could do a lot. He's got an eternal body. He does not have a mortal body. And his father is God. And when that body's born, but God breathed inside of that body that was forming when he was born, or how whenever God does it, but a spirit was created in Jesus. Now that man, he was just like Adam, but then that man climbed up on the cross and died, but he had to die physically before he could die spiritually. In Isaiah 53 verse 9 it says he made his grave with the wicked and the rich in his death. That word death is plural. He died twice. He had to die spiritually, just like Adam did when he sinned, because when he told Adam, the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die, it meant in dying you shall die. In dying you shall die. Because you die spiritually, you're going to end up dying physically. And so now it's passed on, but here's Jesus. He on that cross. Now, he had to be made sin. He had to be made sin. Because if you look at that story of Moses, where Moses took that pole and stuck it up and put a serpent on that pole. Well, that serpent was a representation of Jesus Christ. But I got no sense to know that serpent was a representation of the devil. But it's also a representation of sin. So that tells me then, if that serpent represented Jesus, then that meant that Jesus had to have been made sin. And so he had to have died the death of a sinner. Now, when he physically died, his spirit went somewhere. Because when you physically die, your spirit leaves your body. His spirit did not go to heaven because he took on sin. Innocent, yes, but he took on sin, was rushing. And on that third day, he was recreated. He was created. Just like God did in Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created. Here's the first time since way back there in the garden, we've got a creation. A creation. Are you listening to me? Yeah. And so Jesus, and when the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5 that any man be in Christ, he's a what? New creature, new creation, or new species of being. Somebody never existed before. So the one that took on sin, now this is, you know, it'll almost flip your brain out to try to figure this out. But if you think about it, if he's a new species of being, when you got born again, the same guy that was in you is not in you. Do you're not a new creature. Do you're just a changed creature. Do you're just a whited creature, a painted creature. No, we're not a painted fence. We're a brand new fence, right? Huh? Know what I'm talking about here? So he's a new creature. So the one that was suffering in hell is not the one that got, when he's born again, that's a whole new creature. Amen. And then that born again man comes out of there and goes get his body. When he does, the Holy Spirit quickens that body, and then mortality is swallowed up with immortality. He's got a glorified body. He's created. He is created. Now, the only next time you see creation is in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. A new creature. Jesus on that cross, he bore it all. Man, he swallowed every sin. He swallowed every pain. He swallowed every sickness. He took the punishment. I mean, he just took it all. Every bit of it. Did it all for us. I never get tired of telling the story.
Amen.
Now, and when Jesus raised from the dead, got that glorified body, I mean, he was just, you know, he appeared to him. There he is. And he said, it's the same body. It's just glorified because it had the same nail holes in it, didn't it? Yeah, look, reach here. Thomas, you unbelieving thing, you. Look at it. Huh? And what he said to him? Uh-huh. And then he said, handle me. He said, I'm flesh and blood. You know, he ate fish, honeycomb. Then when he got through talking, he just walked right through the door. He's got an unlimited body. A glorified body is an unlimited body.
Amen.
That's an unlimited soma. And what does that mean? And when he, mortality, swallowed up with immortality, he's now got an immortal body that can't be touched by death. It can't be touched. There's no way that you're ever going to come down with anything, even if you tried, once we get that body. And then, when a man is born again, here you have again that creation. That creation, where'd it come from? Right out of the inside of God. I heard, now, I wasn't there, I don't know, but I heard Jesse Duplantis say that when he went to heaven and saw God, he said little spirits was going in and out of his mouth. And they were asking him, can I be a soul and go to heaven, go to earth? They want to come here. I don't know what for. We're trying to get there. They want to get here. So they look at this as an honor and a privilege. One day, that man, that real you that's on the inside of you, came out of the mouth of God. Great day. Man, we started camp meeting on this one. Whoa, man, that don't make you shout. Something's wrong with you. Coming in, going in, out of. Said they were going in and out of God. In and out of God. And he said he saw Jesus walk up and he said they just meshed. They just went together. And it was a love. Oh, honey. You don't want to miss this place. We're talking about heaven, man. We don't want to miss that place, do we? Glory to God. Now, And we get to the point. Okay, in Ephesians 2:5, turn there and look at Ephesians 2 and see if I'm right. Ephesians 2:5. First one, get there, read it out loud.
Even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved.
Keep on reading, because that's not the one.
And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus.
Go ahead.
That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, but is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast.
Verse 10.
For we are his workmanship.
There you go. We are his workmanship. What? We are God's own handiwork. And how are we created? Everybody say, I'm created.
Amen.
All right? Created how? In Christ Jesus, out of the same mold. The mold it took to make Christ is the mold that made us. Our spirits are one, just like him. And it takes you right back to the garden. Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And let them, may the Lord, let them have dominion, subdue it, conquer it, rule over it. It's an under ruler under God. That's the way we were designed. And when we were created, God's I'm his workmanship. Put that in your pipe, devil, and smoke it. Created in, I'm not a worm. I am a son of God. Say it out loud, it'll help make you feel good. Say, I'm a son of God. I'm an heir of God. And a joint heir with Jesus Christ. I've been created in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. And this is where I wanted to get to tonight. And I ain't been able to get there. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. See, we're not created by the law of Genesis. We're a creation. You understand what I'm saying? We came out of the heart of God. How many of y'all got that?
Amen.
God's own handiwork. I got other scriptures, don't have time. But we were predestined to be conformed to his image. Amen. And every time he makes that image, he has to make a new one. A brand new one. There's no somebody else did it and they reproduced it. It's another one. It's another one he creates. But he's got a mold to go by. Christ Jesus. Now, 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1. Are you there yet?
Yeah.
Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Perfecting holiness. Now, wait just a minute. How in the world are you going to perfect on holiness? Perfecting means bringing to full maturity. Perfecting means maturing. Perfecting means improving. Making. How in the world are we going to make better? Well, man has everything God's created. Naturally, man's improved on it. He's taken the dirt of the earth and made brick out of it, mortar out of it. Hasn't he?
Yeah.
That's improving on the dirt, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, he took trees and made lumber and built houses and buildings. That's improving on nature, isn't it? That's improving on what God initially made, right? Now, we don't have the trees that were here from the creation. We've got the trees that are here today from the law of Genesis. Everything producing after its own kind, passed on that whatever, you know, where is something wood in here? Is anything wood in here? You see that thing there? That's wood. You see that? That used to be a tree that came from a seed, that came from a tree, that came from a seed, that came from a tree, came from a seed and traced all the way back to the garden. And you can trace it from the garden right back to the inside of God initially because he had no substance initially. See? So man is improved. Now, what about the body? Has man improved the body? The body, Bible tells us 1 Timothy 4, I believe, verse 8, bodily exercise profited little. So there's some profit to bodily exercise. We got workout centers, health spas. We got all kinds of things, you know. Yeah. We got Dr. Smith improving on the bodies. He does. You know, we got man always working to improve on perfecting holiness. We're talking about perfecting things that God created. Well, then what about the soul of men? We spent billions and billions and billions of dollars working on the perfection of the soul of man, the psuche. Higher learning, higher education learning centers. That you were halfway all right when you went in, but when you came out, you were messed up. Well, but has it worked? Yes. Man has improved on the soul of man. And again, he tells us also in Romans 12, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Right? So man's mind can be improved on. We're talking about improving things that God created. And he gave us that ability to do that. Because we are creators. The image that we have become. Did Jesus create? Did Jesus turn water into wine? Did Jesus walk on water? Did Jesus speak to trees and they die? Was he a creator? Yes, he was. Well, then we're in that. We were predestined to be conformed to that same image, that same mold. Then who has the power to tell me that I'm not? Just like that. See, you have to unlimit your mind by renewing it. Improve on your mind. When you came to Christ, you never heard that. That was foolish to you. That was witchcraft to you. You were told that stuff had all passed away. See, these people with limited minds, they've never renewed their minds. Then, what about the spirit of man? Well, everybody that's born, how many of you ever had children? Were they born full-grown adults? It's amazing how children just born, not even full-grown adults, will run the whole household. A little food for thought right there. But when they're born what? Well, what did Paul say over there in 1 Corinthians 3? I could not speak unto you as the spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto what? Babes in Christ. Whereas there is strife and envy among you, are you not carnal? And walk as mere men, you act like unregenerate men. So every person that's born into the kingdom of God is born a baby. Well, then do babies have to be taught naturally? Well, as a spiritual, so as a natural, so is a spiritual. Babes have to be taught in the kingdom of God. That's the reason God set apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors in the church for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ till we all come to unity of faith and the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro to every wind of doctrine. If you were spiritually matured, you wouldn't have been tossed to around and junk with that doctrine over there. And then your pastors wouldn't have had so much headaches. Some of them winds blew you around real good. I know some Christians, if it's gullible, they'll swallow it. If it's just goofy, they'll swallow it because they're gullible. They do. They just jump on anything that's goofy. Well, I always say, what chapter and verse are you basing that on? Well, now, I really don't have a chapter and verse. Well, you're a flake. That's just it, you know. Perfecting holiness. Perfecting the things of God. Perfecting spirit. Perfecting soul. Perfecting body. And so that's what we're going to talk about in the next ones. We're going to start talking about how to develop the recreated human spirit. How to perfect on holiness. How to perfect on what God's already done. There's certain things that we have to do. And everything. You see spirit, soul, and body all through now. How we all got to where we are and where we are, but where we need to be. But there is some perfection that needs to go on. Some maturing. It means developing. Perfecting holiness means developing holiness. Developing the things of God. So we've seen them develop the natural realm, the body. We've seen them develop the mind of man. It's been done. But what about developing the spirit of man? To where he is the fullness of the measure of the stature of Christ. Hallelujah. No more children. I told you before, God's not pleased with you staying a child or a babe. No, he's not. He loves you, but he's not pleased at that. And that's where, through Satan's lies,
You look at all those Shiites over there in Iraq, what they're doing, mm-hmm. that huge crowd. Every one of them blinded. Mm-hmm. Blinded. Into some goofball who taught murder, taught hate, and treats women bad, and all that stuff, and they swallow it. Amen. Versus love. Now, God is what?
Love.
He's the Spirit, isn't he? Yeah. I would say then that the first way, and there's about five we're going to talk about the first way to start developing and recreating human spirit is love, practicing love. Well, now, it was all good till this, Pastor. Now you're going to get back. Hey, there you go talking on your head again. If God is love, then it would make sense then that we need to spend time practicing that. And it's going, you're going to have to walk in faith because a lot of times it takes faith to love people. I had to really work at it with some of you. Exercising my faith. I love that man. I love that guy. I love him. I love Chuck. Where is he? I love Chuck. Oh, me and Chuck go way back. He'll tell you. He told me he was sent to me to increase my patience. So he'll tell you that. You're a knucklehead. Is Kathy in here? Where's Kathy? They must be. There they are. Are you back there, Chuck? Am I telling the truth? Amen. And Kathy, am I telling the truth? Amen. Boy, he is giving, between me and her, we must be tough people. But he's turned into a blessing.
That's right. Amen.
And he's going to preach the gospel in Africa. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God is moving. Boy, when I see Chuck standing up there preaching, in the name of Jesus, and shun the lies, shikamopi, and all that stuff, I say, ooh, God is moving, man. That man has grown up. Hey, I can tell you, he has matured since the first time I met him. No doubt about it. Some of us could spend a little bit more time developing our bodies, though, couldn't we? Like not eating that Snicker. I just love that Snicker. Amen. So I rewarded my body. See there, I got you. I always got an answer for it. Now, folks, Jesus said, "Thou will not leave my soul in hell." He must have gone to hell. The Bible says that he was first, I believe it's first Timothy. Let me go look at that, if I can find that. Said he was justified in the Spirit. What is that? Yeah, 1 Timothy 3:16. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, but he was justified in the Spirit. Justified means made righteous. And so he came, the Bible says, talking about development, the Bible says that Jesus grew in wisdom and stature. He grew. Yeah, but that's the Lord. Well, right quickly, I'll give you two examples of mature people. Let's go to the book of Acts chapter 6. Two people that were spiritually mature developed their recreated human spirit. Just want you to just see these guys. Acts 6 verse 3. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. Full of Holy Ghost, full of wisdom. The only requirement now to be a deacon. Whom we may appoint over this business, we'll give ourselves to prayer and minister of the word. And then they chose, verse 5, and the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and full of the Holy Ghost. So full of faith, full of wisdom, full of the Holy Ghost. Right? And this man wouldn't preach, didn't he? They go over to chapter 7, and the Bible says they could not resist the wisdom of his words and gnashed on him with their teeth, didn't they? Now look here. Look what he says in verse 51. Ye stiff-necked, uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets have you not persecuted? And he talks on down, verse 54. When they heard these things, they were cut to their heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God, Jesus standing on the right hand. Now Jesus was not sitting on the right hand. Jesus had stood up to receive him. And they were not receiving anything he was saying to them, was he? Now, I want to watch you something here. Look at this. We're talking about a spiritual man, mature man. This is a man who knows who he is. And here's a man that's got the love walk developed. He has to. He saw Jesus standing on the right hand and said, "Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears, stuck their fingers in their ears, couldn't stand it, and ran upon him to one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the young man's feet, whose name was Saul, who became Paul, and they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, "Lord, receive my spirit." They didn't kill him. He decided to leave. He said, "Well, if y'all not going to listen to me, I'm just going to leave." Didn't say that they killed him. Said he said, "Receive my spirit." And Jesus had stood up to receive him because he was honored by him. And then look what he said in the last verse. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, saying, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." I'd say, number one, he's worked on his love life, hasn't he? How many of you have been able to say that? How many of you would have been able to say, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge"? You try. Well, you know what? If we got perfecting holiness, if we perfect it in our spirit, we will. We got our mind sanctified, holy, we will. And we got our body, see, spirit, soul, and body. This is where God's been trying to get us to. Jesus hung on that cross and he said, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." Huh? I'd say then that love be the first thing we got to work on. And then you're going to have to practice. You're going to have to walk in faith. Practice love, walk in faith. Practice love, walk in faith. Practice love, walk in faith. We'll talk about that more next time. And then here's the guy that was holding the cloak while they stoned him. Here's Paul. And he was chosen. He's a chosen vessel. Man, he's been lied upon. He's been stoned 3 times for dead. He's been thrown out. Everything. He wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. And then one day he said, "I'm in a great strait betwixt two." He said, "I don't know what to do. To stay here and be with you, which you need me, or to go home to be with the Lord, which is far better." And he said, "I think I'll just stay because you need me." Here's a man that decided when he's going to leave, decided how he's going to leave. When he died the death he chose. We're talking about somebody that's perfected in his spirit, knows his authority, knows who he is. He's not waiting to get to heaven to find out who he is. He knows who he is. He spent time in the Word developing his human spirit. Developing recreated human spirit. Can you say amen? Perfecting holiness, perfecting in the perfection of the spirit, perfection of the soul, perfection of the body. So you, really, what you see tonight is that everything God created, we can perfect it. We can make it better, can't we? Amen. Improve on it. And that's what God expects us to do. Just take this and improve on all of it. Amen. 803, that's not bad. Amen. Is this good? Well, let's stand and thank the Lord for it, for the good word. Amen. This is lesson number 2 in spirit, soul, and body. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Blessed be his name. Say, I'm a spirit.
I'm a spirit.
Have a soul.
I have a soul.
I live in a body.
I
never ask my body
what I should do.
I never ask my mind
what I should do.
My spirit controls.
My spirit.
He is in charge.
He knows
what to do. Because God
is in him.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
And my spirit
was
created
in Christ
Jesus.
Amen.